Hello, we do not own the right to any of the music played on this episode of Two A's That Can Be B's. Thank you. Well, hello.
Hello.
And we are back.
Hey, yay.
We are back at ya. I am Anita.
And I'm Angelique.
And we are Two A's That Can Be B's.
Yes, season two.
Season two. We did season one. We are now in season two. Check us out.
Bigger and better and deafer.
How about that? Yes, we have had a little bit of a hiatus. We know y'all missed us.
Yeah, you know what? I was going through some things. Some things.
Yes. And we have some updates for you guys on some things in some of our past episodes that we talked about that I know for myself, I put into place and some changes have happened. So that'll be an episode down the line.
Yes.
And also for Angelique, we have some updates. So we won't talk about that right now. We have other things for this episode. But you know what? We have a juicy, juicy second episode about to go down.
Yes. So we're going to start with our usual Busy Bee segment and just do a recap of things that's happening out here on these streets. And one of the people that we talked a lot about last season was Wendy Bartholomew. I can't do that. No.
I know, right?
Don't come after me, T.S. Madison. I love you, T.S. Madison. But don't come after me because that is your thing. Only you can do that.
Only you can call that
So
name.
We're just going to say Wendy Williams is first up on our Busy Bees recap, and she got divorced, and now she's living the single life, in the words of Cameo.
Yeah.
She's been seen with
a couple of guys, but she's not telling us who she's actually with, but she's out here in these streets saying that she is a housewife. She is not a girlfriend.
That's right.
So she will be with someone.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, she's trying to divorce Kevin. I noticed on her show that she just throws some jabs at him all the time.
Yeah.
She's always like, no, I'm not talking about the bad Kevin or little comments that she says, but she is definitely letting you know that she is out of that camp.
Yeah.
I am no longer with him. Yeah. So I guess it's about signing the papers and defining, you know, getting things finalized. But when we had last season, she was still in that thing, but she quickly got up out of that thing.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter. If it comes and touches you, you can get up out of it. You ain't got to be bothered
with that. Just as I had suspected. You know, I think that infidelity is one thing, but then when you have a child out of infidelity, I think that was
total disrespect.
That was the nail on the coffin. I think as long as they've been married, I'm sure they've gone through
some things.
And that may have been or may not
and
have been.
And it may have been an understanding. Just don't bring it home. Throw it up in my face like that.
Right.
But that was a complete embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like she said, I'm in my 50s. I'm not trying to change diapers again.
There you go. And she said, I don't know her, but I like her. That's what she says about her new self.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know who this person is, but I like this person. Yeah. So she's evolved into somebody new and what makes her happy. That's what's important. And it's all about it. Ladies, gentlemen out there, if you up in something that's not making you happy, get up out of it.
That's right.
Get up out of it. That is the key. Do not sit up somewhere that you are not wanted or you don't want to be, because there's a whole lot of it's a big world out here.
Yes. And stop going to the altar about it every 5 seconds because God is tired.
Exactly.
You talk about the same
How about
thing.
That? How about that? He gives you six senses.
Right. He's like, listen, you come up here again on Sunday at 11 a.m. talking about the same situation.
Take your hands and pack your bag and get up out of there.
Right. I'm going to provide for you. Trust. It'll be there. The money will come from somewhere. You will find a new location.
It will be okay.
You will have it. You just got to trust.
Quit beating that drum.
Yeah.
That same old drum that you keep coming up here with. But yes, so that's a good update. So I was happy for her. She seems happy.
Yeah.
She seems to be in a happy place. So I'm happy for her.
Yeah. And Wendy, if you listen to our show, please help Tamar get her own show. Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. So I'm going to say side note. Help Tamar get her own show. She was the winner.
Exactly.
What's that? CBS
Big Brother.
Big Brother. She worked that thing. You hear
Thank
me?
You.
Tamar worked that thing. So she a show.
Yes. Could do something for her. Yes. Show. How about that? And the other thing that we wanted to just bring out as a little update is your president.
Oh, Jesus.
We still dealing with this man getting ready to talk about an impeachment. He had, in the meantime of all of the stuff we talked about last season that he did, he has asked Russia to check into another candidate,
Ukraine,
which is clearly against the Constitution.
Yes.
And you are not allowed to do that.
Yes.
That on grounds alone, you should be, it's impeachable.
Yes.
But they going back and forth like it's a tennis match, throwing this tennis ball back and forth for who doing what and blaming. And he just seems to be the Teflon Don that just don't nothing stick.
Yep. And these folks that keep backing him, it's like you will back him to no end.
Till the end.
I'm trying to figure out what files he got on you folks.
Exactly.
You just,
exactly.
Like, won't step back. It's one thing to, you know, ask somebody on your team to go, hey, do some research on a candidate. That's one thing. But when you go across the waters to ask for someone to look into somebody.
Yes.
Well, weren't we just talking about Hillary in the other election?
Yes.
And information.
And emails. But, that's all he kept bringing
but
up about
okay.
her.
Lock her up. And so y'all don't think this is a punishable offense?
I don't understand.
Uh-huh. And now he chucked deuces up at New York. And now his legal residence is Florida. And Florida, he's giving us a bad name.
See what I'm saying?
We got some things work out of Florida, but we didn't need that. We did not need that coming to Florida.
Yeah, I don't understand what he's allowed to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it well.
And then you get on Twitter and you just keep on getting on Twitter and just talking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
He does. So that is something that is a continued saga, and we are about to go into voting in a few months. We still, as Democrats or whatever we are, whatever you are, we do not have a candidate. So okay, they better not sleep on him. I keep saying it.
No.
You guys better get a candidate to where we can get everybody behind this candidate, because this man is gonna walk up in here and be the one.
Yep, again.
So you're
gonna go through four more years of this.
That's right. So we could go on and on and on about that. But yes, well, at tonight we know that our RHOA Real Housewives of Atlanta is coming back.
Yes.
They're coming back tonight. This is November 3rd. I know we're premiering this on November 7th, but they will be back by the time we come back.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting.
And Kenya Moore will be twirling herself back onto the set.
See, she must need a check.
Hey, I don't know.
Well, you know she getting a divorce. So
yeah.
She must need a check. She got that baby now.
Yeah.
So I don't guess she can't get his coins.
You know.
He must have had those locked down tight.
I don't know what happened with that, because, you know,
I'm sure all that going to come out.
Right. She took a whole season to go do the
She did a season. She did a season
couple
marriage.
Season.
Oh, was a couple seasons
wasn't
marriage?
Is it two?
I don't know. I thought it was one.
The last one, Sheree was on there.
It was Sheree, and then this past one was somebody else.
And then Fedra left.
Yeah.
She was still on that season one.
Yeah,
Fedra
she
lied
was
about
on
the
that. Yeah, she was
that
on
stuff.
That,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. See, I had stopped watching it.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous.
Because, you know, the system's
yeah, I don't
going
follow
back and
it back
other,
and forth. Yeah,
catty.
I don't follow. I just catch it. I try to catch it because you watch one, you caught up on all of them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, just sit down on a Sunday and they're going to show all the way from noon
all
the way to.
Exactly. That's what they do.
And that's how I get caught up. I'm like, oh.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yes. Because I'm just the only one I'm going to watch on the other Housewives, the New Jersey one, is I want to see Teresa go and see good old Joe. Because this is her first time really dealing and touching and being with him in 4 years. From him going to Italy, they're going to fly her over there with her and the kids and see their union for the first time. Now, that one I'm going to watch because I watched that, watch What Happens Live with him remote and her sitting there, and they were going back and forth with each other. Like, I said, oh, Lord, oh, I got to watch this.
See,
this is getting ready to be crazy.
At this point, you're like having you're strangers.
Exactly.
You're not.
It's
even...
like, oh, and but he's still talking to her like she don't know what she's talking about because he's been with her all her life. Right. Since they've known each other since they were children. I said, oh, it's getting ready to be real interesting.
Yeah.
So we definitely will be on that Bravo, Real Housewives of all of these different women that's just crazy and just trying to collect a check.
Hey.
That's what it seemed like it's getting down to.
This is why I say I ain't mad at all these shows because I know what you're doing. If you can take that 5 minutes and use it constructively, that's, hey, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
And then we have.
Oh! Kudos and congratulations to Tyler Perry, who opened up this major film studio here in Atlanta. And I heard it was unforgettable.
Stellar.
I mean, he had everyone there and he had different studios named after people and people who've been on his shows got their Walk of Fame on the little Hollywood, the little Tyler Perry Hollywood Walk of Fame. I think I follow Keisha Knight Pullman. She has a star in his Walk of Fame. And then her boyfriend, who was also on Loving You Is Wrong, he has his star. I don't know if they're next to each other, but they do both have a star. So he really, I mean, he's
brought
everyone
his people
together. Yes, he brought everyone together. And, you know, it's been rumored, it hasn't been confirmed, that they will have the Democratic debate on his studio lot because it can house so many people. So I think they are going to do that sometime.
They're doing quite a few things on there because I even saw something on social media with Will Smith and all of them doing something for the Bad Boys. But Bad Boys 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of that was on Tyler Perry Studios. And also some of the Dolemite, I think, was also on that because he and because all of them were on social media taking a picture together. Will, Eddie Murphy, and Martin Lawrence, and oh my goodness, I can't think of the other one that was he's in Dolemite. But anyway, they were all
Wesley
on it together. Wesley Snipes.
All right,
they were all on there together. So, I mean, it's like he's going to really get a lot of use. I mean, it seems like he's getting ready to get without help of those other people.
Yes.
He did it on his own in his own way.
Yes.
So it looks like he's going to get what he's just due.
Yes.
So kudos to that.
Kudos to Tyler.
So we also want to say rest in peace to John Witherspoon. It won't be the same in this comedy world without you.
My gosh. I don't know how many times I've watched Friday. I mean, like, from the Rudy to the Tootie.
Coordinate.
You gotta coordinate.
Oh, my gosh.
I had
gosh.
To spell your shit for so many years, Craig. Now you can spell back.
Yes. And Friday, they were supposed to do a remake of that. I said, that's not going to be the same.
No.
So
and Boondocks.
Yes.
He was
they were
going to
do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, how do you capture
you can't.
That?
You can't. He was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, but you know, all of our legends are getting up in age. Like I saw Patti LaBelle was over on the Breakfast Club the other day. She's 75 years old.
She looked good, though.
And looked damn good.
She is self-care. She's the
thank you.
Personification.
Thank you. She was
self-care.
Thank you. She was something. She was drinking some type of a vegetable drink on there that day. I said, yes, take care of yourself.
That's
you got
right.
to take care of yourself
that's
out
right.
here in these streets,
that's
people.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, our legends, you know, Black don't crack anyway, but, you know, we just hate to see them pass on and move on to, you know, the next life or whatever you believe in. But we definitely will. He will be missed.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
So we missed you guys.
Yes.
We missed y'all. We had so much that was going on. I was like, dang, I want to get on there so I can talk about it. I want to talk about it. So, I've missed you guys. Yeah. Oh man, I'm ready to be back.
Yeah. And after you hear and watch our first premiere episode, I think you guys are going to. We're just gonna grow and grow and grow. I just feel it in my spirit.
Yes.
So, you know, we took our time. We took a little break.
Yes.
We maneuvered ourselves. And I think you guys are going to really enjoy the season. And we're going to love hearing your feedback. Please.
Absolutely.
Your feedback,
please.
Because that's so important.
Yes.
That lets us know we're on the right track, whether we need to maneuver a little bit. So definitely, definitely reach out to us.
Yes. We definitely want to hear from you guys more this season. We know people are still listening. We've been told people are still listening. So, you know, we just really want you guys to just keep sharing, keep clicking, keep listening, and, you know, let us know what you think about us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All righty. Right. So we're going to go ahead and get started with our guest.
Yes.
And enjoy the show.
Yep. On this episode of Two A's That Can Be B's, we will be interviewing Elle Darcell, author of When the Shit Goes South, Her Priority, His Option. Elle Darcell loves to travel where it gives her time to write and relax. She's originally from the Midwest and relocated to the South for the warm weather and Southern hospitality. Yes, we still have that here in the South. And after co-writing a book years ago, Elle Darcell decided to tap into her vivid imagination to bring these characters to life. She is the proud mother of two adult children and honeygram to one. Without further ado, let's get started with the interview with Elle Darcell, author of When Shit Goes South. Here we are.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Okay, we're on the line with Elle Darcell, the author of the book When Shit Goes South.
Yes. Yes.
And we are very excited today to have her as our premier guest. And we love this book, and we are really going to suggest that everyone goes out and reads the book. And after we ask her a few questions, I'm sure you're going to want to go and read this book. Yes. But without further ado, she's a busy lady, so we're not going to keep her long. So we're going to get started with a few questions, and, you know, feel free to take your time answering in any way, you know. That you don't have to keep it G. You could keep it
right. So if you throw an F bomb, that's okay. It's okay. We just go put it explicit.
You
on
know, you. I thought about that. I did think about that. I was like, so I'm glad y'all put that out there.
Okay, so we're going to get started. So our first question to you is, go ahead and can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Sure. So my book is, well, first, let me just thank you guys, Angela and Anita, for having me on today. I'm super excited, and I appreciate you guys thinking of me for your return to Two A's That Can Be B's.
Yes.
So my book is about really like friendships and girlfriends and love and lies and secrets and heartbreak and more importantly, sex.
Yes, so. Yes, it's definitely about sex.
I need to put a short sleeve shirt on.
Hot. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think that if I reread it and I get a little hot myself and I wrote it, then I can only imagine what's happening to other people when they read it.
Oh, it is good. And it is very descriptive. Yes. And that's what I like. I need that type of description in my type of book. Because, you know, I like that. All of the juicy. I like all of that.
Yes. I was like, wait. I had to look around and see if my mom was there. I was like, wait.
But wait a minute now. My mama read it. You can let your mama read it too. My mama read it.
That's right.
And she's 73, so.
Oh, yes. It don't stop. You still feel sexual. It's still sexuality fuzz past 40, 30, 40, 50, 60.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, what inspired you to write this book and writing in general?
Well, I started just like dabbling in writing with like a little bit of poetry, mainly just for myself in a way to express my feelings, like, you know, particularly around relationships. Like, so if I was mad about something, I would write about it. Mm-hmm. If I, you know, was happy about something, I would write about it. And I would say, like, the only time that I penned something that wasn't, it was relationship based, but it was more friendship based. I wrote a piece called The Strength of a Woman, and it kind of starts with the strength of a woman never, the strength of a woman never shows on her face, but springs into action any time or place. And as women, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Like, we are strong in so many ways that, you know, we hold it all together. We try not to let people see us break down, but there are times when that is going to happen. But women in general are strong. We birth in babies, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
So
exactly. We bring in whole new beings into existence.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So when I started thinking about writing the book, it was primarily probably because some shit done happened in a relationship mm-hmm. that I was mad about. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to just start writing and just see where it takes me. And mm-hmm. that's where it went. It just kind of went from there.
Oh, okay. So did you always want to start writing a book? Like, in general, was that always something you just wanted to do? Or did you one day ever think that you would be, you know, birthing a novel at all? Or did you ever think that would happen?
No, actually, I had no plan to write a book. And to say that, let me just say that it took me 9 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I would start and I would stop and I would start and I would stop. And then ironically, I'm in Phoenix today and I came to Phoenix maybe 4 years ago and I was like, I'm going to finish writing this book. And I did. I came to Phoenix. I finished the book. And then more years passed that it just sat and I did nothing with it. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like one of my friends was like, listen, you done wrote this book. You need to put it out. Quit playing around. Yeah. And, you know, and it's all about procrastination. I was procrastinating and doubting myself.
Yes, that's what we do.
I wrote. And, you know, and I was like, OK, I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to just do it. And now I'm excited that I have done it.
Yes. Oh, because it's good. It's good. For your first one, it is really, really good.
It stands up there.
It doesn't even feel like a first one because I read a lot. I'm a reader. I love books. So it stood up against the big names like a Zane or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I was engulfed in it. I was like, oh yes, I could do this. Oh yes, I can. I'm feeling these characters. Yes, I'm feeling this.
And I'm one of those people, like, if you get me in the first chapter, I'm good. But if I have to struggle within that first chapter, it takes me a while to read a book. Mm-hmm. But with yours, mm-hmm. it was like, whoa, I texted me. I said, girl, I can go with this in a minute.
Yeah,
really good.
It is. And I was like, it doesn't even feel like a first book. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've read first time authors before because I'd like to give people a chance that wouldn't get that commercial audience. Mm-hmm. So I seek out people when I go to read. I seek out books of people that really don't have the popularity. So it doesn't feel like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's really good. So what do you think you learned when writing the book? What did you think you've learned during this journey?
Well, one, I learned that I have a very vivid sexual imagination.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, some of the things in the book, you know, when I had a gathering and I said one part of the book and I said, oh, that part right there, that's fact. That really happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just learned that I could explore my mind sexually. Mm-hmm. But I also learned that you have to kind of step out of your comfort zone and you also have to take accountability for what you're doing. So like in the editing phase, I hated the editing phase. So I hired somebody, but when you read it over and over and over again, mm-hmm. your mind automatically reads what you think that it should say. Mm-hmm. When I went back and read it myself, I was like, ooh, I missed that. Ooh, I missed that. Ooh, I missed that. And I can't put it all on the editor because I too should have been as diligent as well going back to, and you know, and it wasn't like super glaring stuff. There were a few things, but for the most part, I was like, I done misspelled her name wrong. You know, just little things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think in the learning process, you have to be as involved in every single process of it, from the writing to the editing to all of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. And that sometimes can make you want to stop when you see how overwhelming it can be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So Latrice, Eldar,
that's fine. It's fine.
She said, that's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
I didn't need to be safe. I don't know. And this goes into the next question. Where were the characters pulled from? Because I felt like I knew these characters. Like, I know the brother Xavier. Xavier is like 85% of the brothers sitting up here.
Exactly.
It's like 95% of the sisters sitting up in ATL. You captured that so well. So where did you pull these characters from?
Well, I would definitely have to say it's from various experiences, various friends that have been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of the characters in the book, like Elise and Sienna and JC and Lana, they all have the first initials of like people that I know. And the main character, Elise, is my daughter's middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And Xavier is my son's middle name.
Wow.
So yeah, so I pulled those. And then, you know, I just kind of threw in Max and, you know, the other guys. I just kind of threw them in there with some names that just weren't so super familiar to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, Angela, Xavier is mm-hmm. so many of the guys that women deal
yes.
with. You know, it's like,
yep.
it's all about, I'm going to have my cake. I'm going to eat it too. And I'm going to keep her in the dark for as long as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but when the shit hits the fan or when it goes south, it just all blows up in your face.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You can't keep a secret from long, like they said.
Exactly.
When it's done in the dark, it's going to come to the light.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was easy to create the characters.
yeah, that's the easy part, probably.
Right.
That probably was the easy part. So, what do you think? What is the most difficult part? Do you think to you was about writing? What was the difficult part about writing for you?
Remembering where I left off. So since I was a procrastinator, I would write a little bit and then I stop, and then when I'd pick it back up, I'm like, okay, now who did this? Who did this? You know, so I would have to go back I would have to go back and reread it to get my mind right to start back with those characters.
I didn't even think about that.
I'm not thinking about that either, because you're not doing it in chronological
order.
Yeah.
It's kind of as it comes to you. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
I wouldn't even have thought about that. That would be hard, because it's like you're reliving it every time you go back to write.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, well, that's interesting. That's a food for thought right there.
Right.
Yeah, that is big time food for lessons learned.
I have no intent on writing.
But I know that's one profession I could never do.
It would take me, never say never.
I'm sure I have some things in my life that I could write about, but
exactly,
you know, I may have to, you know, protect the innocent,
right?
That's a good one, okay?
So I know it took you 9 years to write this one. Are there any plans for future books?
Well, I say no, but the people that have read it say yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, we need a sequel. We need this. So all I can say is I have the first two sentences of the next one if I decide to finish it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So does it, like, how do you do that? Does it just stop after you get all of that out of you and you finish this whole book? Does the imagination just stop, or does it continue and you still have to find yourself going and writing other things down?
I have not really written anything down other than those two sentences, but in my head, I'm like, I could probably squeeze out another one with these same characters, you know, and build on how what happened after they got back. So
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I think I could squeeze it out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because there that could go in so many different directions, and exactly. it could get so much deeper. Because I was even thinking about, oh dang, so what happens? Because I don't want to tell the book, because right. we know exactly. we want people to read it. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, when I saw that flashback part happen, I was like, oh, what's happening? So then I came back. I was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. all right, we back on track. Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could really go any direction. You really could yep. lead into this. This could be a good little thing on BET.
You know, I know. If y'all know somebody.
Yeah. Oh, this would be a good little BET special.
Oh, well, you know, if we go stick to the book,
exactly.
It's got to be Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because you got to be able to do what's actually happening in the book.
Absolutely.
You might want to keep it
definitely has to be unexplicit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's true. You got to get that feeling.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. You can't cut like pieces out.
You're
going
to be like, no, that ain't happening in the book. Oh, they cut that out.
Yeah.
That out.
That's true. Okay. Are you on social media, and if so, how can your readers interact with you? Is there some place that people, a forum that you've started that people can go out and start discussing the book or anything like that? So if you can, tell us about that.
Okay, well, I am definitely on social media. So my public Instagram page is _Taz_Stallion.
Okay.
That's on Instagram. Then on Facebook, it's Latrice Woodruff Coit. And I also have Latrice Darcelle, but I don't really use that much.
Okay.
I think I'm L. Darcelle on Twitter. I gotta look, but I'm on Twitter as well. And I'm on Snapchat. And for the book, like, you can go on bookbaby.com for discussions, mm-hmm. or if people just want to hit me up on social channels, because I love when people tell me their thoughts about the book, because then I screen capture it and I put it in my Instagram feed and share it on my Facebook, because I want people to see what other folks are saying about it, because it makes me feel good about the work that I did when somebody says what they thought about it.
You get that feedback.
Yeah, and how has the feedback been? Have you been getting a lot of it, or what is your feedback been, from the book? I mean, are you starting the momentum gaining, or what's happening with that?
Yeah, I actually had a friend yesterday. It was like, hey, I need to order 20 books.
Wow.
Got, for her line sisters. And, so people will be like, I read that book in 3 hours.
Wow.
I read that book in a day. It was so good. And my other girlfriend was like, my mother was like, well, have you finished with the book yet? Because you done told me about it. Now I want to read it.
Oh, so, good. That is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think my mother is my biggest cheerleader.
Oh, yes. Because,
she's like, girl.
I'm over here telling them too. For those of you out in the land, this is my niece.
So, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
My niece, so that's a little inside secret everybody has on 2 A's that can be me.
There you go.
And I tell everybody about it. I'm like, my niece, you wrote a book. Hey, I'm going to get it for you. Let me get you the information.
I know people that know people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
And that's what's so great about it is people are enjoying it. So they're spreading the word.
Okay. Yes. Because I was wondering how the feedback was coming. I wonder if she's getting a lot of feedback or what the momentum is happening with it, because I know I'm telling people about it.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Wow.
I'm gonna have to buy a book and share it with some book club.
Yeah. That's a way. That's a big way of getting the momentum going as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, what advice? I have a few folks that are thinking about writing books. They're like you. They're started and stopped. What advice would you give to an aspiring writer?
For an aspiring writer, I would definitely say, don't give up on what it is that you want to do. You know that you want to write a book, stick to your goal, finish it, but definitely be super engaged in the whole process. So if you're going to self-publish, make sure that you are working with a company that's going to give you the best bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to hire an editor, don't let that be your sole editor. Like I see now I should have like tapped 5 people and said, hey, you read these 3 chapters, you read these 3 chapters and tell me what you see. So engage mm-hmm. your friends because, you know, they have a clearer vision of what it is. So they're seeing from a different lens, whereas you're seeing from, oh my God, I read this 20 times and, you know, but definitely don't give up, be engaged, get some friends to give you their feedback and opinion and all of that. And you can't, you know, you can't share with everybody.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. You got to be careful with that.
You got to be careful who you share with.
That's being vulnerable.
Yes, that's very
exactly.
vulnerable.
Yeah. Exactly. So when I first started writing and before I finished it, like I sent it out to some people, but first I sent them an email where it was like almost like a non-disclosure. But I sent them an email and they had to respond that they would not divulge the information. So as far as I was concerned, that's binding because it's in writing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, it would hold up in court. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that was, I'm like, I'm gonna share it with a few people. Y'all tell me what you think and then I'll go from there.
Okay. All righty. Well, do you plan on creating an audiobook? That's what, you know, that a lot of people driving, and going different places, you know, like we're like me sitting in traffic now that I'm, you know, working a little further. So, you know, do you think that, you know, that's something that you may do?
You know, I have looked into an audiobook, but I haven't really gone as far as to see what the cost would be. Okay. You know, I think I'd have to make a little bit more money before I say I'm going to do an audiobook.
Right.
But it would definitely be entertaining.
Yes. You know,
to hear this in an audiobook.
Yes. And if you want my voice, I will be with wait a minute, Tariq's girl. Wait a minute.
JC. JC.
Yes. I would wear that one out, baby. Like, let me tell you, that was my character right there.
In my mind, I was like, that sounds like Taraji. Like, I feel like Taraji,
play that part. That voice, I'll be like, oh, yes, honey. I would get that real good right there.
That is hilarious. You know, and I love Omari Hardwick. I was like, he ain't tall enough, but he sure could be Xavier.
Oh, yes, he could.
Well, and I was trying when in my head, when I was thinking about actors, we were like, no, he's got to be tall. I was like, Omari Hardwick. I was like, nah.
And I was thinking Cujo.
Boris.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking. That's who was in my mind with that piece.
He got the height. He definitely got the height.
And he can get sexy too when he need to.
Absolutely. We all remember him on Soul Food.
Exactly.
We remember.
Oh yes. So that's who I had in my head was for that piece.
And then or the guy from Bird Box.
He would be good. He would be nice too. Oh Lord, look at us. Right. Our imagination was all over the place on that.
Right. You're right. It took a 2.5 seconds to be like, oh yeah.
Yes. So what would you like to see happen for this book, like in your wildest imagination? You know, I know we brought up the BET deal, but what would you like to see happen for this book? What's something, if you could see one of your most aspirations, what would it be?
I would love to see it get universal exposure to where it could become a movie or a Netflix special or something like that. So, you know, where we could really bring it to life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the big screen where people could check it out. Cause I just, you know, I just think that they'd have to tone it down, you know, because they would probably give it an X rating right now.
Yeah. It probably would have to maybe go to R. They'd have to get it to the R level.
Yes. But that's what I would like to see for it. So, you know, I hope as long as the word continues to spread, that however long it takes, that it one day has that ending where that it's appeal. Something that that we can all walk a red carpet for and be like, I remember when.
Yes, because I remember a long time ago when you gave it to me, a little piece of notebooks or something you gave me to read. And I was like, yeah, girl, this is good. You need to be good. And I know this was about over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you got it in you. You just got to get it out. So and every now and then I will bring up to you, are you still going to do that book? And you're like, yeah, I'm still at it. I'm still at it. But you know, we are here now. And, you know, to see you in this book come to life and come to fruition, it just shows the manifestation of what our dreams and our goals will do for us. When we speak it and see it, we can manifest it.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. And so, like you said, don't give up.
Yes.
Right.
Most people would have been like, okay,
That's a big task. It's a daunting task. It definitely
is. Yes, it is.
It is definitely a daunting task. Well, we thank you.
Yes.
And
I appreciate you guys.
Yes. So we are so excited that we have as our first premiere a real life offer. We are definitely going to put your social media list in our bio. As we list the episode, we'll list your social media, and we definitely will have the book out there. We are promoting the book, so you know, good luck. We know that it's a blessing on it, and it's going to continue to flourish.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much. You. I appreciate and love you guys. Thank you so much.
We love you too. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hello. If you would like to become a sponsor with Two A's That Can Be B's, please contact us at our Gmail account, twoa'sthatcanbebees@gmail.com. If you have a product or you have a business that you would like to promote and you would like to provide it on a segment of Two A's Can Be B's, again, please contact us at twoa'sthatcanbebees@gmail.com. Thank you.